He's got all set. We're good.
Oh, just start up.
It's going.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, it's wonderful to see the abundance. Look at these people everywhere. Well, I have great news for you people. You are loved and respected and appreciated more than you'll ever know. This thing that we call God or the universe loves you that much that it is always prepared to give you what you want. What else can I say? It's absolutely wonderful to know that, and you should know that every day, that you are totally, totally loved. You are also totally taken care of at every moment. And we'll talk more about that later. But that is the good news for this evening. Everybody here, do they know that this is a metaphysical teaching? So I don't have to explain what that means. For the new people, the title of this class is Prosperity and Abundance, Including Money. We do talk about money here. We like to talk about money here. But we also know that prosperity and abundance does not necessarily mean money. You can get what you want in this world without money. But money is a very important thing for each and every one of us. Because the one thing that money will do for you that other things will not do for you, money will give you freedom. Freedom to do what you want. I will give you a definition of prosperity, my prosperity. I want enough money in my life to do what I want, when I want to do it, with whom I want to do it, and as many times as I want to do it. That is what prosperity is. Okay, with that said, I'll do a spiritual mind treatment. When I use the word spiritual mind treatment, it's just a form of prayer. We are taking time out to know what this universe, or what this thing God, that we call God, already knows about us. I will do this in the first person. And all those who are willing may take it for themselves in the first person. I am absolutely delighted to know that I am one with the only power there is in the universe. And that power is a power for good. And because I am one with that power, I am able to use that power. I'm able to use that power to draw into my life all the desires, all the wants. And right here and right now, I use that power for good, to bring prosperity, abundance, and money to me right here and right now. And I let that be so, and so it is.
So it is.
Tonight's topic is visualization. I have talked about this many times, not visualization, but the idea that we came here on this plane of action completely equipped with everything that we need. We were not put here to suffer in any way, nor were we put here on this plane of action not to have what we want. When I say have what we want, what do we want? We want peace. We want joy. We want happiness. We want to feel good all the time. We have the capability to do that. It is all inside of us. We came here complete. We need nothing added to us. People are always out thinking, well, I have to learn one more thing. I have to do one more thing. I have to get one more degree. One more this, one more that, and then I'll be whole, complete, and perfect. I am here to tell you that you are already whole, complete, and perfect. It can be no other way. because you are one with the only power there is. We call that power God, or we call that power the universe. When I use the word God and universe, I want you to understand that there is no separation there. We only talk about unity here. So when we talk about the universe, we're talking about God as the universe. Everything we talk about is always God as. When I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about God as me. When you're talking about yourself, you're talking about God as you. Because each and every one of us is an individualized expression of this God, this power. You can call it anything you want. God will not get upset if you call it Harry or anything. God is far beyond being upset in any way, shape, or form. This is another thing that we learn in metaphysics or in science of mind, Christian science, religious science, whichever. The God that we are talking about is not the usual God that you find in churches. That God happens to be a personal God. This God that we're talking about is impersonal. You make it personal to yourself by developing a relationship with it. And you develop that relationship with this power any way that you see fit. You see, the power will become anything that you want it to be. Isn't that nice to know? You see, that's how far advanced this intelligent thing is that we call God. God doesn't care what you take and do with it, but it will respond to you. So when we're going to do visualization, we're going to talk about visualization, what I want you to visualize always is that you truly are cared for. You truly are protected at all times. How many people here have heard the idea of the everlasting arms? They refer to God's everlasting arms. Now, we know that God does not have arms, but that's a wonderful visualization if you can visualize God with arms, and if God is always out with its arms, holding you, ready to catch you, ready to protect you, ready to give to you at any moment. It's done with your belief systems. It's done with your faith. It's done with your attitudes. It's done with your viewpoints. And we'll go through all of that also. But when I told you that you came here completely capable of doing things and complete with everything, that nothing needs to be added to you, you have all the tools in your toolbox. We just don't get them out and use them. And people don't know that they have a toolbox. One of the tools in your toolbox is the tool of visualization. You came here complete with that. I had a client who said to me she can only visualize parts of something, but you can't do the whole thing. Well, if you can visualize a part of something, you can visualize the whole thing. And it doesn't matter if you're only visualizing a part of it. We happen to live in a universe that is a hologram. It's holographic. So if you have part of it, you have to have all of it. Does that make sense? And this thing that we call God, what is known in one point of that mind must be known in all points of that mind. That's when I do treatment work for other people. How am I able to do that? That they get what they want. Because if I know that that is so, the mind of God, the mind of the universe, must also know that that is so. And if the person is open and receptive to that, then they receive the demonstration. That is how that's done. I found this, my 3x5 cards always, and I'll read something to you. You always demonstrate on the level where your consciousness abides. You always demonstrate on the level where your consciousness abides. What does that mean? You see, people come here and they want to manifest something. And they want me to teach them how to manifest. They want me to teach them how to get what they want in life. You're already doing that. Each and every one of you is already manifesting. But you're usually manifesting from a different level of consciousness. You see, you can't not manifest something because mind always responds to you. It always responds to you. Larry brought this in, and we'll read this quickly, and it's don'ts. Don't probe darkness to understand light. Don't dwell on sickness to be healthy. Don't indulge in thoughts of lack to have supply. Don't dwell in misery to understand light. What does that mean? That's two different ways of thinking of something. That's two different levels of consciousness. Which one are you abiding in? The one that's sick or the one that's healthy? Whichever one you abide in, you're going to manifest that. But people think only manifesting something means something good in their lives. No, you manifest everything in your life. You have to take responsibility for that. You have to realize how powerful you are, and you have to say, geez, look what I've done. I manifested a mess. Well, I don't have to live in that mess. I can change that mess by changing my whole attitude about that. And you just change your attitude. That's called changing your mind. And things happen immediately. So we don't allow this little thing up here, this mind, to talk us out of it. The mind also happens to be a tool in your toolbox, but most people don't use their minds. They allow the television to run their life for them. The television tells you you're going to be sick. Television tells you you're going to get bird flu. I haven't even seen a bird lately. Let alone get that. But you see, you have to learn to think for yourself. You have to learn to use your own mind. Okay. The power of mind cannot do otherwise than demonstrate in accordance with the way in which it is used. You see, it always demonstrates the way it's being used. There's another expression that we use in religious science, and it is, what man can conceive, mind can achieve. So if you have an idea, it has to manifest itself. You see, because of the whole idea that if you get an idea, the universe or God already knows the completion of that idea. Now, you would not have gotten the idea if it could not be completed. You just wouldn't have gotten it. People get tons of ideas all day long. They don't act on them. You have to act on an idea once you get it. And if that's the one that you want to manifest, you work on that. Now, you may get idiotic ideas, too. Well, you know enough not to manifest them. Don't act on the idiotic stuff, you know. Ask for better ideas in your life. Always ask for better ideas. Always ask to be moved up in consciousness. Always ask for a better solution. Then always know that you're going to get that solution. You see, there's always a better way to do something. The world which we live in teaches only two solutions to anything. It's either right, it's either wrong, it's either yes, it's either no, it's either this, it's either that, da 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 da. We don't do that in here. We know that there's always a third solution. And we always move up to the third solution. And what is that third solution? That third solution is being able to sit down quietly and move your consciousness up to the consciousness of God itself. See? And you don't have to be afraid of moving yourself up, you see? Many people are taught that you have to revere God. Well, I think that's fine. But you don't have to be afraid of God. This power is your very best friend. And if you use it as a very best friend, you'll see all the difference in your life. The only way that you can prove that God does exist, that there is such a thing as God, is to be able to bring that power into your own life and manifest things for yourself. And then you realize, oh my goodness, look at that. I can do that. I can do that. You see? How's your cold? Because you're learning how to do it, aren't you? You see, you can heal a cold. You can heal anything. We're just told that we can't do that type of thing. So it's done with your mind. So the tool that we're talking about tonight is the tool of visualization, which is very similar to the tool of imagination, which is another tool in your toolbox, which we've often talked about, the tool of imagination. But in visualization, using it as a tool, is anyone familiar with a book called Visualization by Shakti Gawan? Yes. Very good book. Use that book and learn how to visualize what you want. And if you can visualize part of it, like the young lady that came to see me, you can visualize all of it. Yes, you have to learn. It's a muscle you haven't used. You may have to sit down and grunt a while to get it to do. Then you hold that visualization in your mind. That visualization has to come true. That's the way it works. It always works that way. You see, I think of the whole universe as Play-Doh. And I can make anything out of that Play-Doh I want to make out of that Play-Doh. I used to have a Play-Doh factory, not a real one, just in my mind. When I wanted something, I fed the Play-Doh into that, ground it out, and there I had what I wanted. Because we're just using this universe. We're using everything that's in this universe to bring us, to manifest for us. It's just rearranging things, people. It's just rearranging things. We call it creating. Everything's already created. Everything's already here. Everything's already created. We just rearrange it. That's all we're doing with it. And you learn how to do that. So along with the visualization, you have to have a belief and a faith that that is going to work. But I can sit here and tell you that it absolutely works. Find out for yourself. Make it work for you. You know, this class grows and grows and grows, which must mean I'm saying something right, or the room would be empty. So I'm not sitting up here telling you lies. I'm not sitting up here telling you airy-fairy stuff, which I could do, by the way. I'm very clever at that. But I don't do that. Because this thing that we do call God, or that I call God, is very precious to me. So I use it correctly. I had a teacher once who told me to stop. What is it? Did he used to say to me, stop? Oh, stop testing the universe all the time, Dallas. Well, I've never stopped that, by the way. I still like to test the universe. I like to see, does this really work? Will this really work? And it does really work. I left here for Thanksgiving and flew to Phoenix. Everyone I talked to said, oh, worst day, you can't do it. Oh, traffic, oh my God, it's going to be awful. I called for a cab, and the cab driver says to me, oh my God, you're going on that day. I said to him, would you please stop? I said, I don't want to hear anymore. So I went right to the airport, flew out of Burbank, went right to the airport, no traffic. I got to the thing. I had one of those printout things from the computer. Yeah, so I took it. There was no line at Delta. The lady was just standing there. I gave her this thing. She gave me a boarding pass. I got on the plane, and I arrived 24 minutes early. I arrived 24 minutes early. Why? Because I didn't visualize the traffic. I didn't visualize my plane. I didn't go, oh, they're awful. Oh, what a time of the year. Don't travel during that time. I stay away from those people. I call those people the doomers and gloomers of life. Stay away from them. They want to get you onto their side because they want to prove that they're right. I always want to prove that they're wrong. you know, and I'm able to do that. I have a very good average. I would say it's at least between 98 and 99%. I can do this stuff all the time. Now I get a little sloppy sometimes and slip into believing the world. You know, the world is very convincing out there, and it convinces you. And every once in a while, it convinces me. Now, what do I do when it convinces me? I say, oh, darn, and immediately forgive myself and go back to my thing. I never beat myself up. I never say, oh, Dallas, you're horrible, you're awful, you should, da-da-da-da-da. No, you know what I say? Dallas, you're a wonderful human being. You're a wonderful human being. How many people here are still doing wonderful, wonderful me? For the new people, please. That's an affirmation we do. We do it every morning. I look in the mirror as I'm stepping out of the bathtub. I'm alone. And I look in that mirror and I say, wonderful, wonderful me. You have to do that. You have to know how wonderful you are. And you have to know how powerful you are. You people are powerful. And I know that some of you are finally catching on to that, how powerful you are. You see, we're not put here as puppets. We're not put here as worms of the earth or whatever people call that. We are individualized expression of this thing we call God. The creator and the creation are one in the same. This thing we call God is always creating. It creates and then it moves on and creates more. But it always stays with you. It always stays. We have that expression. All that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. Because God is everywhere. And God is everything. And there is nothing but God. If your mind is telling you that there's something else besides God, tell your mind to shut up. You have to start always with the premise that God is the only thing. That there's only one power. And that power is the power of God or the power for good, and you are one with that power. These are the things that you have to remind yourself, because the world wants to erode that all the time. And this teaching fades very quickly. Somebody once told me, and Joy, maybe you can back me up on this, that the piano is a non-forgiving instrument. You have to practice all the time or you immediately forget it.
All instruments.
And that's what you have to do with this. You have to practice it all the time. Some people go away here for 2 weeks and they forgot the whole damn thing. 2 weeks and it's gone. Right out of their head. They say, oh, I forgot that. I forgot that. Talked to a young lady last week, or the week before maybe it was. She was going on about a problem that she was having. And she was having it with a family member. And she said, well, I just made up my mind. I'll show them. I won't call them. I'll just stop my love. I'll just stop that for till they come to their senses. Of course, then she had enough nerve to say to me, what do you think about that? I looked at her and I said, would God do that? I said, what kind of a world would we have if God said, I'm not going to love you for 2 days till you come to your senses? God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. This thing loves us each and every one of us so much that we can't comprehend it. We cannot comprehend it. Wesley, here in the corner, is a Baptist.
Was.
He's recovering.
Southern Baptist.
But I'm in the Baptist church, did they not use this? The peace that passes all understanding? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the love that passes all understanding. We can't understand it. Our minds cannot understand it. Because this thing that we call God is always beyond thoughts and words. As soon as you try to describe God or think about God in any way, shape, or form, you have taken something that's infinite and tried to make it finite. You can't do that. You just have to know that it's beyond your concept. But that doesn't matter. You don't have to understand God. All you have to understand is that there's love, that this thing loves you and will always take care of you. Will always take care of you. Andy talked to me the other day and he said, well, he knew that he was moving from his good to his greater good. We're always moving from our good to our greater good. We're always moving from glory to greater glory. Always. Think about it for a moment. You think God backtracks? I don't think so. She is blessed. It never backtracks. It moves on, and we move on. If you look back in your own life, you will see that you have gone from good to greater good. You're always moving forward. Things are always getting better for you. So think about that when you try to visualize something and learn to visualize what you want. If you want money, sit down and visualize money. How many people think about money all the time? You have to think about it. I just came from Tucson. Those relatives of mine, that's all they think about is money. And I happen to love money, but I got a little bit tired of that. Got up in the morning, two televisions at once, and they could look at the stock markets.
Yes.
Then they got their computers out to see overnight if any of their stocks went up or down and how much money they made. I thought, well, look, there's a different way to do it. There's a different way to do it. That's one way. Those people happen to live in the world. They're doing quite well living in the world. His business made $18 million last year. $18 million. I asked for one. Couldn't miss that. Can't make people watch 1 million. They do it a different way. But as they're doing it that different way, they're under stress, struggle, strain. You can learn to do it without any of that, and money will come to you. It will come to you, and prosperity and abundance will come to you. But sit down and visualize that. If you were very thirsty, and there was a well in front of you, what would you take to the well to get the water? A thimble? A cup? A big truck? See, the problem why people don't have money is their container's too small. You take a small container, that's all it's going to fill up. So you have to take a bigger container. When I say a bigger container, what do I mean? You have to stretch your consciousness. You have to stretch your consciousness, your prosperity conscious. She is. You always are stretching your prosperity consciousness. You're always stretching your consciousness so that the container is big enough to hold what you want. so that the container is big enough. You see? How many people here want something, but they don't know, first of all, they don't know how to get it, and then they can't conceive getting that or receiving that because their container won't hold it. Meaning your mind, your consciousness, your thoughts about things won't hold it. So you stretch that. You stretch your thinking. So when you're visualizing money, visualize big things. See yourself going to the bank. How many people have been in a vault? No one's ever been in a vault?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't see you back there, Wesley. I didn't know they had a vault in the church.
They have a lot of bankers that go to those churches.
Yeah. They do, see, and they make money. But look at those things. See money. Go to a vault and look in and see what money is. How many people know on $1 billion what simple interest would be each year? Simple interest meaning 7.5 to 8%.
Oh my. That's
7.5 million.
It's $53 million a year on $1 billion. $53 million on $1 billion.
Simple?
Stretch. You have to stretch, kids. You have to see that. Just saying. So you have to know. How are you going to get $1 million if you don't know what it looks like? How many zeros are in $1 billion? How many zeros are in $1 million? Well, there. We can get up to $1 million. So just keep stretching that and seeing that. Using this tool, this visualization. And you can do it any way you want. You can see the well. And then to ask yourself, what am I taking to that well? See it as the ocean. What am I driving up to that ocean? How big is my thing? Am I going to build a pipeline? And just take that. Or am I only going to put my feet in the water? Or am I going to submerge my whole self in the water? This is what visualization is. And then you build on that visualization till you can see it, smell it, and taste it. Who remembers Reverend Ike?
Oh, you know? I do, yeah.
Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
What did Reverend Ike say?
Box 1000,
Boston, Massachusetts. He used to say, you've got to feel good. You've got to feel good. And you've got to smell good. These were techniques that he taught. He used to also say, Christ, loosen my money for me. Now, when we use the word Christ here in this room, we mean a Christ consciousness. We do not mean that man from the Bible that they call Jesus Christ. You see, most people think that that was his name, Jesus Christ. No, it was Jesus Schwartz. But he was Christed. And being Christed means that his consciousness rose to a different level where he became one with the only mind there is. And the only mind there is the mind of God. And if you can remember that that is true, that the only mind there is the mind of God, then when you're thinking, God thinks. And then you ask for God thought. So that eventually you will be able to think God thoughts after it. You will be able to think God thoughts after it. Now, let's go back a moment to this idea and visualize First of all, the everlasting arms. Then let's visualize the mind of God. And let's say the mind of God is in this room right now. And of course, it's invisible like the air in front of us. The air happens to be God also. Anytime I talk about anything, air, earth, table, chair, I'm talking about God. Because God's all there is. But these are individualized things about God. That's a table as God. Or God as a table. But it's always God. So you have to visualize that. Now you visualize that this is God, right? And then you have to know that you're living, moving, and having your being in this one mind. So if you're already there in this mind, why can't you take it and shape it and mold it into what you want? And that's why I use the idea of Play-Doh. Because you can impress on Play-Doh. You take your hand, you can make a handprint. Well, that's what you're doing when you're trying to manifest something. You're making a mold. And you hold that mold long enough for the universe to fill that mold. When the universe fills that mold, you have a demonstration. So in your visualization, you never give up visualizing till you have your demonstration. And you keep thinking about that and you get excited about that. And as Emmett Fox says, you must have the warmth of feeling. And then you must know that that's absolutely possible. How many people here have heard that for years? With God, all things are possible. Use that. Remember that. That all things are possible with God. All things are possible with this power that we're talking about. So when your mind says to you, and the world out there immediately says, oh, that's impossible, you can't do that, just turn the other way and walk away from those people. They don't understand. They're in the land of Nod. Do you have a question, young lady?
But how do you turn away from your brain that's telling you that it is impossible?
Aha!
All right.
Do you realize you're not your body?
Yes.
Do you realize you're not your mind?
Yes.
Then why can't you walk away from it if it's not you? If you were watching something on television that you didn't like, would you not change the channel? And that's all you do is you change the channel. Your mind is nothing but a computer. At home, you have a computer. Mm-hmm. And if it's doing something you don't like, what do you do? When mine does something I don't like, I unplug it. Then I plug it back in and it says, fatal error has occurred. I just rip it out of the wall. That's what I do with my thoughts, the ones I don't want. Just rip them out. Do you understand that? You see, you have not detached yourself from your thinking. You think that your thinking is something. Your thinking is nothing, my dear. Emerson said, get your bloated nothingness out of the way.
Tell me what Mary Magdalene said.
Yeah, what did Mary say?
I wish I could give you the exact quote. You can.
Oh, I can.
When you must argue with...
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You must argue with your mind like you were a lawyer in front of a judge. And you must always make sure that you win. Mary Baker Eddy. Does everyone know who Mary Baker Eddy was?
So you argue with yourself? Is that
healing, did you say?
She said, do you argue with yourself?
Of course I argue with myself.
And he always wins.
And I always win. You think I let my mind tell me? You see, I could have left my mind say, oh, don't travel, that's an awful day. And then I kept that going, and I'd visualize that, and I'd have turned on the television where they're showing all the people doing all this craziness and all that stuff, and I'd say, oh, that's the way the world is. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You think I believe any of that? No. Yes, your mind wants to start to tell you that, but you have to say, no, go back to the nothingness from whence you came. You were never my friend. You have never brought me any good news. Now go away.
But doesn't that undervalue the power of your thinking? If God is in all things, and God is all things, and your thoughts are God, and thinking is a tool that we have that we can use for our asset, and if we chose our thoughts correctly, thinking at a higher level of consciousness while we were thinking, then our thinking would be a tool. But to say that thinking is of no value takes away the power from our own mind, because our mind is our biggest tool. Our mind is God, used in the higher consciousness of mind. So I just...
Your mind figured that out, didn't it? It was very clever, wasn't it? Did you see how clever your mind was?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And you're impressed with the cleverness of your mind.
Well, I wouldn't say, you know, to stay stuck in the mind, but I just feel like as the human beings, we don't use our thinking the way we should.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. She's not using her thinking. Yeah. She's but thinks she is her thinking. Yeah. You're never your thinking, and you're never your thoughts. You're much more than that. But most people think that they're their thinking. Most people think that they're their minds, because the mind is very clever. It tries to convince you that it is you and it is not you. And then it becomes very clever, you see. And you have become very clever.
Is that good or bad? Is clever good or bad?
I'm not saying anything is good or bad. I'm just saying things are.
Right.
Is mind and ego the same?
Pardon?
Ego and mind, same thing?
Your mind has an ego. But they're not. People think they're one and the same thing. You think at different levels. Remember when I said you always manifest at the level of your consciousness, at the level of your thinking at the moment. If you think things are not possible, they're not going to be possible. If you think things are possible, they will be possible. Because this thing that we call God, which I tell you every week, loves you that much, it will not argue with you. It loves you, respects you, and appreciates you that much. It will not argue with you. If you say, I can't do it, the universe says, you're right, you can't. If you say, I can do it, the universe says, you're right, you can. But it always loves you. It always loves you. What is the only thing or the only person that doesn't love you?
Your ego mind.
Your ego mind, your own self. Your ego mind loves to tell you that you're not enough, that you don't have enough, and that you don't do enough. It loves to tell you you're lazy, because it wants to keep you going all the time. Why does it want to keep you going all the time? So you don't have time to think. So just keep your race up. I have a question to that.
Actually, I just wanted to say that one of the... It's interesting how that I've always been prized for being very intelligent, and I realize that I haven't always known how to be smart on my own behalf. And so I was thinking about that because when you ask the question, it gets asked periodically by all of us. One of the things that comes up for me that is one of the simplest things you've ever said, and it works so well for me, which is when the thought comes up that is not in my best interest to interrupt it, really, and I know sometimes it's stop, and not that thought, but another. You said that one time, and I use that all the time.
Yes.
And not that thought, but another.
Yes.
You know, bird flu, not, and I know I got a cold. I know because I had a moment where I went, gee, I wonder if I'll get a cold. and, you know, and it comes. And
proved itself quickly, didn't it?
Shifted or, oh, I'm really good at that. But the not that thought, but another, you know, and then, and sometimes it won't let go.
Yes.
You know, so I just, you know, it's like, not that thought, but another. And replacing it with something that's going to be more proactive on my behalf.
Learning to tame your mind is like jumping on a wild horse. It will buck and carry on something fierce. But you have to tame it. You have to tame your mind. You had a question?
Yeah, I just want to know, why do you think that we even have to go through this whole process of taming the mind? Like, how come we weren't just born evolved and with the higher state of consciousness? Like, you know, in the Bible, it says...
Who sent you here?
In the Bible, it says Adam and Eve are at fault, but, you know, human consciousness has been going through this battle since the beginning of time. So I'm just wondering, how come we weren't just born into prosperity thinking and just... good thinking. Like, why do we even, but God is all good, all God, all loving, all powerful, all knowing, all understanding, right? So why wouldn't he just make his children happy to begin? You know, like, just bring them into a peaceful home. Just, you know, bring them into a tamed lifestyle and a prosperous way of thinking. I can't understand that. It's just like, maybe that's the whole point, is to not understand it and to just live and to use your power to create, but... I'd just be interested to know your opinion on why it's like that.
All right. I'll give it to you. It's a long question, but it's one that everyone asks, and it's been asked and it will be asked over and over and over again. Because when we decided to incarnate on this planet, we split off from God. And we forgot now about God. So we came here and we start to play these silly little games. The silly little games of illness, poverty, all these things are nothing but mind games that we have developed so that we think we're doing something in life. But God has never forgotten us. God will always give you everything. All you have to do is change your mind about it and not be convinced of what the world's telling you out there.
Is God playing a game on this?
God never plays games.
No, but I'm saying, God, we are God. We are God.
Certainly are.
We are incarnations of the Holy Spirit.
Let's do this.
But if we're God incarnated, why would we play a game on ourselves? Like, and I know you're saying God doesn't play games, but it really is a game when you think about it.
Yeah, but God's not playing.
Like God knowing itself and not knowing itself.
God always knows itself, and you always know that. But you're playing the game because you developed an ego. Mm-hmm. And if you can get rid of your ego, which you will be able to do to a point, you will see through that. But you have to raise your consciousness up off of this level of race mind. And we're living in the race mind. And it influences all the time. And it makes you think that what you're seeing is real. And you say, we're going to do a week or so. I'm doing one on appearances. Not tonight. But this thing that we call God is always with us. And we like to say, or I like to say, all that I am is God. But I am not all that God is. See, that was the only thing that I held against, but I forgave her. Shirley MacLaine. Remember, she stood up and said, I am God. Well, she's lucky a thunderbolt didn't come. God would never do that either. But you have to know that everything is God and everybody is God. So the truer statement is, all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You see, it takes all of us to be God. And we forgot that, and we forget that. So we play these little games.
I just had a thought. about that.
Uh-oh.
Just from something I've been kind of studying a little bit, but could it be...
Where have you been studying?
I don't say. It doesn't matter. Could it be kind of like the ocean? For one moment, the wave comes out, and it looks like it's separate from the ocean, but it just comes out and it goes right back in.
Yes.
So we're all like little waves.
Yes.
But we think time is like really extended, but it's only like in God's eye,
right.
Time is just like, there is really no time.
There is no time. There's only now in the mind of God.
And then so we come out for a minute, and it looks like it's a long
right.
time. We're born, and then we die, we go right back into the ocean. So we come out of God's belly and we fill right back in, but we think it's...
Yeah. We think a lot, don't we?
We think that it's just like a little game to play for that one moment. But we think it's a really, really long time.
I've said this before, God is not in you like a raisin in a cookie. You are in God like a wave in the ocean. That is what... You are like a wave in the ocean.
So this whole thing here is an illusion right now.
Oh my God, Jess.
Isn't.
Pardon?
Isn't this whole thing an illusion?
Yes.
And the appearance of lack also a big illusion.
Absolutely. There's no such thing as lack. There's no such thing as lack or limitation. The only thing there is a lack of distribution. There's always plenty of money. There's always plenty of food. It just doesn't get distributed. And that is not God's fault. We do that to ourselves because we set up all these crazy rules, you know. I'm not going to give you my wheat because you didn't give me whatever. So we hold back. God never holds back. Is everyone clear with the different conversations?
Yes.
Good. Because these things are very valid, by the way. And the questions that you're asking, and I'm not going to say this, and I don't want you to take it demeaningly. But they're just the start of you opening. You see what I'm saying? Even though your mind may tell you that you've advanced somewhere, the questions that you're asking tells me that you're just at the beginning. Otherwise, you wouldn't have asked that question. Yes.
Could you explain the there is only that distribution a little bit more?
Oh.
I think I get it on a
global
emotional feeling. An emotional state, but I guess I don't understand it mentally.
Well, people are starving all over the world, and we have plenty of food to feed them, but it never gets to them because it's not distributed. See, it's always a problem of distribution. It's not a problem of lack. Does that help you? Take Africa. We could feed all of Africa, but we don't. We have enough wheat stored up in this country to feed the world. We also have mountains of cheese. I tend to talk about cheese. Why we have mountains of cheese, I don't know. But if you want it, they'll give it to you free, by the way.
Would that be because they're still in starvation mode and it's their fault?
We never use the word fault. You have to remember, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because somebody is in a lower consciousness, because they're doing that, you cannot say that it's their fault. You see? Does that make sense to you? What you have to do is bring them up in consciousness. I'll give you an example. They take poor people, lower income people, and they put them into wonderful housing projects because the housing project they're in is dilapidated and ruined and so forth. Those people are in the new one, not very long till it looks like the old one. Why? Because they never taught them the pride of ownership. They never raised their consciousness. You see? You have to raise consciousness. And it won't, they're not interested. The government's not interested in raising anybody's consciousness. Social workers are not interested in raising anybody's consciousness. They're not into that at all. You have to raise consciousness. And that's what we do here. Pardon?
And we do that by visualizing?
Oh, you do that. That is one way to do it. There are many ways to do it. Visualization is one. Imagination is one. Faith is one. Becoming that is one. The best way to do anything is by showing people. You see? We learn by example. I want to put a person over here.
I just had a thought regarding what you were talking about. You're talking about coming here and sort of being pointless. Like, why come here at all? Then what's the point?
Yeah, that's not what I was saying exactly.
Well, my thought is that there's great value in coming here and forgetting and playing the game, because it's the very difference of knowing something. I can tell you what ice cream is, but until you actually taste it, then you have the experience of doing so. So forgetting that you know what ice cream already tastes like,
right,
coming here and experiencing it again has great value.
That's it.
And that makes it everything, pain, pleasure, everything.
We come here to remember. We just come here, not to this room. You come here to this room to remember. But you come to this plane of action to remember. And you constantly come back to this room and you constantly listen to me, because I'm telling you something that you already know. Otherwise, you wouldn't come here. It wouldn't resonate in you. You know all this stuff. I am just telling you it again so that you finally remember that you know all this stuff. You see? Does anyone know what to teach means? To teach, you know what to teach means?
Draw out.
To draw out. And most people think it means to hammer in.
That's the word. That's the word inculcate, coming from the root call, meaning heal or to snap in.
See, you thought we didn't have smart people. We're always drawing out what we already know, what we already have. Everything is inside of us. We were brought to this plane of action wholly complete. Now all we have to do is remember that and use it and not be convinced by the world. And
the
pardon?
The race mind.
Yes,
what the programming?
Who? Well, the race does it itself.
No, but why? What purpose?
Well, I don't know the purpose, but, you know.
Because we have to step
if
out
you, if we knew the purpose, then that would make it go away? I doubt it. You know. There's a whole idea, and this is absolutely true, by the way. You see, we're always born into a conversation that's already going on. The conversation that we're born into was different than the conversation that George Washington was born into. So we're always born into thought atmospheres and conversations that are already going on. And all the things that we believe today and that we can prove today that are scientific today, we live with those. Look at kids today. They immediately know a computer. You know, you can take a kid and put them down. They know this computer. To people of my age, which is not old, by the way, it's a little bit more difficult because I wasn't born into that conversation, you see. I wasn't born into that. By the way, when I say race mind, I want you to realize that there's not God and race mind. There's not the mind of God and race mind. Why is that an impossibility?
It's all there is, God.
And if you did, it would be separation, and we do not have separation. We teach only unity, always one. Inside of the mind of God is a little space called race mind. And for some reason, we all want to flock over there. Why? Because we see everybody else flocking over, you know? I'll quickly give you an idea. In Christianity, they always look at everyone, and they said Christ did this, the one that they call Jesus, saw everyone as sheep. Remember? And if you ever noticed, the Pope and all of them have a staff. That staff was, you know, to grab sheep so they wouldn't fall over the cliff. Because if one sheep goes over the cliff, they all go over the cliff. They're all, you know, sheep are dumb. They're absolutely stupid. Goats are not, by the way. They won't do that. But we're compared to sheep because we herd together and we do all the same things that the thing that somebody else is doing. How do you think we get fans and all that stuff going? One person starts it, one sheep starts it, and the other sheep says, oh, I better have that too. You see? That's just my idea of Christianity. They want to lead you, you know. Don't be led anywhere. You're an individualized expression of God. And you came to this plane of action completely equipped to have the wonderful life that you want. And I think that's wonderful, and I think you're wonderful, and I think I'm wonderful. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. There's a sign-in sheet there on the table. There's a basket for donations if you'd like to give to Dallas. And Dallas is available for private sessions and hypnotherapy. And thank you all for coming. Hopefully we'll see you next Thursday. If anybody'd like to order one for this week or next week, I can do those too.
When my puppy first got sick, I don't know if it was when I went to church or it was in the Science of Mind magazine or something. Anyway, this is what I started saying every night, and I've never stopped. The everlasting arms. I'm wrapped in the everlasting arms. And so I know that, you know, and that I'm resurrected to Christ. I go to sleep knowing the living was nourishing, healing, instructing me throughout the night. And when she was getting ready to make her transition, I was freaked out all the time. And I would say this, and I'd spray lavender on the two of us every night. And I just never stop saying it because sometimes I don't even get through it.
Yes. Oh, you don't? Yes. It becomes so.
I just go to sleep.
Yes.
And I think in the morning. And I go, okay, so then I'll finish it. And that's a great, it's been so comforting. Yes. Did you bring cards tonight? No. Oh, I have your numbers.
You keep saying that, but you don't call.
I know. Well, you were gone. You told me 2 weeks ago. I'm gone next week.
I'm here now.
You're here now.
Thank you so much. That was most wonderful.
How have you been?
Thank you.
Great. And then you want to.
Yeah.